This morning, Jonathan Feldstein bringing us the Israel Report. He's the founder of Genesis 123 Foundation. Jonathan, good morning. How are you?
Howard, good morning. It's been a while.
It's been way, way too a while. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm fine. Listen, as always, perplexed, troubled, flabbergasted, confused, but, you know, just a normal day as a Jew in the world, right?
Yeah, that sums it up.
Because, no, seriously, I mean, the news over the law, as I said to a guest yesterday, I feel like I'm getting whiplash. Because I don't even know where to look. I don't know what's going on. I can't make sense of anything. And normally I'm quite good at putting the patterns together, but this one is defying me completely. So let's
No, I agree. It's a particularly frenetic time, and it seems like that when you talk about whiplash, I think of being center court in a tennis match, but I think we've got multiple matches taking place where our heads bobbing between about 12 different things.
Yeah. And trying to find a thread in all of them. So let's take some of the big stories and just try and understand them one by one. First of all, of course, yesterday was all about Idan Alexander. Tell us what happened.
Thank God he was finally released. This was a different kind of release in the sense that there was no direct negotiation where Israel had to release a certain number of terrorists in order to get him back. There was no formal repugnant staged ceremony, although there was that picture with him and the Hamas terrorists and the slightly less terrorist but no less problematic representative of the Red Cross that should have never been there. She just shouldn't have taken a picture. Certainly there was some sort of direct or indirect negotiation between Hamas and the United States, and it seems that this was a perk of sorts to President Trump, even by the fact that the dignitary present when he was released along with at his family's side was not a Israeli official, but Steve Witkoff. So there was a lot more U.S. involvement in this than in previous. And of course, Idan is a dual citizen, an American Israeli. So it's very nice that the U.S. is involved. I don't ever feel so great traveling on my U.S. passport because I don't feel that they're going to be that supportive if something, God forbid, should happen. But here is a case that proved me wrong.
What do we know about his condition?
He was able to walk out on his own. He looked happy, albeit gaunt and pale. There's a picture I just saw. I don't know who he was hugging, but you saw his arms embracing somebody.
It was his mother. That was the first time he hugged his mother. You can see the condition of his arms, which was very worrying.
Right, right. There's no question that he was tortured. He was an active duty soldier when he was kidnapped, and there's no question physically, psychologically that he was tortured. We just don't know a lot of the details of that yet, or frankly any of the details, nor should we.
Right, and the issue around him being taken very quickly to Qatar to meet with leadership there as well as Trump, that was a big part of the story yesterday, but I haven't heard anything since. What's the what's that all about?
There was a rumor which was quote unquote verified by members of his family. That always concerns me because part of the confusion of watching where we are and all the things going around us right now, Howard, is that a lot of it's based on rumor, and I'm deliberately holding back. So there were rumors that he was going to go to Qatar to meet President Trump and possibly the Emir of Qatar, which kind of makes me want to vomit. During an interview before we saw any live pictures of Idan in freedom, there was an interview with his grandparents, and the grandfather was asked directly if Idan was going to Qatar today. That was the specific question, and he looked at the camera and said no. expressly. Today, that was yesterday. Today in the media, the notion of going to Qatar is something that is more of like if he wants to. But clearly, this is a young man, even though he's only 21 years old and perhaps more physically fit than somebody who's 61 years old. He's suffered a great deal, and right now he should be going through medical and physical medical, physical, psychological checks, and that needs to be the priority. If Donald Trump is in the neighborhood, that's very nice, but Idan Alexander can be invited to the White House at some point to meet President Trump, which doesn't involve having to fly to an enemy country like Qatar 2 days after being released from 19 months in Gaza.
And flying to the very people who have funded Hamas and who are protecting them in Doha.
Yeah, that would sort of be like a Holocaust survivor flying to Argentina to thank Adolf Eichmann.
It just makes, it really does. Well, I just can't see the sense that it makes, and I just can't imagine that additional level of torture, mental torture and emotional torture to both him and his family.
Right.
So it's really just unimaginable. But let's see what happens with that. Another part of the whole confusion in the last few days is this concern that Donald Trump is letting Israel down. I don't know what is real. Again, I don't know what is not real. But it seems to be that Netanyahu is insisting that the relationship is an excellent one. What do we know?
Well, even at the worst of times under previous presidents who were not as supportive as Trump is considered, everyone would say there's no daylight and no between Israel and the United States. And on a national level, historically, that's probably true. There certainly seems to be friction. Steve Witkoff made a comment to families of hostages that, in fact, this time he said Netanyahu is holding up a deal because Netanyahu doesn't want to end the war, implying that ending the war will have the effect of having all the hostages released. That's also somewhat naive, I think, but then again, I'm not in the room with them having the negotiations, but it's not something I would bet on. Between Trump cutting a deal with the Houthis that doesn't exclude the Houthis continuing to attack Israel, between negotiations going on with Iran, between, first of all, what's unthinkable, which is going to Qatar at all, much less the rumors, and it seems like it's true, of Qatar offering what I amount to a bribe of a $400 million airplane, and going to Saudi Arabia this week, where he's supposed to meet with Mahmoud Abbas, and until recently, I also believe the new president of Syria, both of whom are terrorists. Israelis are feeling a lot bit isolated and wondering what's going on. And deep down, I just keep praying that this is part of some bigger. Oh, one more thing, that it seems like there's negotiation with the Saudis to enable them to have a nuclear plan for nuclear energy without having a requirement of normalization of relations with Israel. All of this seems to be making Israelis feel very, very isolated and unsure. And as I was about to say, I'm hoping and praying that somewhere where we're not seeing, there's a strategy here that will end up having a light at the end of the tunnel. But my goodness, the tunnel's looking darker.
Well, it definitely is. But then we have a comment by Netanyahu to the, I think it was reservists yesterday or last night, saying, you know, just hold on, something big is going to happen in Gaza soon, things you've never seen before. So the messaging is very, very much all over the show, which you know, when Donald Trump announced the tariffs, these crazy tariffs some weeks ago, if obviously here in South Africa, people were getting quite hysterical. And I tweeted, guys, just hold on, because this is his way of wiping everything off the table. Countries that have something to offer him and have a way to negotiate will negotiate their tariffs one by one. And in truth, that's exactly what started to happen. So we often have a very, very dramatic and strange clearing of the deck by Trump, and then slowly it starts to a different picture emerges. Now, maybe I'm being naive and kidding myself, because when you do look at some of the stories and some of the strange, seemingly strange decisions, there's very real pause for concern. But aren't we in the middle of that? Shouldn't we just... isn't it smarter just to suspend our anxiety, if possible, and wait to see where this comes out?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that to a point. And that point is, if we use the analogy of putting a frog in a pot of boiling water, eventually that frog is going to boil to death, and we need to know, and we need at some point to jump out, to leap out and say, you know what, it's not happening. Well, we're not seeing anything good coming out of it, not with negotiations with Iran, forcing the Saudis to normalize relations with Israel and be part of the Abraham Accords, with or without a Palestinian state. We're not ready for a Palestinian state ever at this point, and that can't be an agenda that's going to. A deal with the Saudis is imminent. A deal to create a Palestinian state, if ever that could happen or should happen, is not. And there shouldn't be all of these things. And at some point, and I think that point must be sooner than later, because we can't let ourselves be lured into, well, let's wait, because it can't really be as bad as we're thinking it might be. I just don't know, Howard, when that let's wait is. I do know that friends on the right are equally concerned and yet equally doubling down being pro-Trump, but I'm hearing a lot of concern, which I'm glad about, because that shows at least a level of intellectual integrity. And anyone who was predisposed to not like Trump or Netanyahu is going to find yet another excuse to not like Trump and Netanyahu.
That said, and of course, you know, it's hard to argue what you're saying, but at the same time, through all of this, Idan Alexander is back with his family.
Thank God. And
that is purely, even if it's just a gesture to Trump, and he had to say he's going to, you know, accept an aeroplane that he might never accept, in order to create that image. Well, the guy's still home, so I don't know. You know, it confuses my brain tremendously, because I can't quite figure out where this is going. The fact is that there's already been one good result that we didn't have a week ago, and that result is a young guy has been saved and returned to his family. So I guess that's something.
Thank God for that, and yet, because of the unique circumstances and all the things going on around us that you alluded to at the beginning of the conversation, a lot more people are second-guessing the other things, while the focus is and ought to be at the moment, or cannot be diminished, that Idan Alexander is home and will be okay.
Yeah. And finally, and I thought this was quite a strange story, is that 5 months after being banned, the PA has lifted its ban on Al Jazeera.
Good Lord. I that's hysterical to me. I guess they're wanting Qatari funds to help rebuild Gaza and think that they must have a role. But I just the Saudis don't allow Al Jazeera. So it's very funny that the PA has reversed that ban. Anytime Israel wants to ban Al Jazeera, it gets excoriated around the world. But nobody notices when the Palestinian Authority does that. There's something behind the scenes that I'm also not smart enough to realize, but I suspect that in the coming days and weeks, we'll begin to see the layers of the onion peeled back to expose some of it.